My name is Rosa Ballardini. As you can guess from my name, I'm not really a Finnish person or a Nordic person. I'm originally from Italy. I came to Finland in 2007 to study IP law, to do my PhD in IP law in the context, specific context of software protection. And after that, I stayed in academia. I'm currently a senior lecturer in IP law at the University of Lapland. My fields of expertise are especially intellectual property and how IP and technological innovation interacts one to the other, so how the IP system provokes and reacts to technological developments. I've been working in several different technological contexts, including software, as I said, and ICT industries, as well as 3D printing, industrial internet, and IoT, and nowadays increasingly more artificial intelligence, big data, machine learning, and their interaction with IP field.
How did you come up to happen in Lapland? Why there?
So I was based originally at Hanken School of Economics in Helsinki, and then it happened that a position came at the University of Lapland in the IP field, and frankly, that's how I ended up in Lapland.
How can you live in this dark place?
I don't have any problem with darkness nor coldness. As I usually say, I've been living in my life in several different places. What's important for me in order to be comfortable in a place is the people. And I think Finnish people in general are excellent, reliable. And in terms of professional environment, I think University of Lapland, even though it's a small unit, it has a lot of potential, nice community. It composes by four major faculties that are kind of interactive. So it's also, it kind of facilitates possibilities for conducting interdisciplinary research in such a small, compact university. As a matter of fact, we are currently renewing, in a way, our structure in the law faculty, and we have nowadays composed so-called groups, research groups. One of these research groups is about law, technology, and service design or design thinking, which is the group that I'm leading. Then we have a group on welfare law, and then we have a group on environmental law, and then we have a more theoretical group on how these three areas, technology, science, environment, interact to each other and how they reflect and provokes legal developments.
Choosing Finland for studying law from the beginning, that's not obvious, I guess, if you're European, or is it?
I guess it depends on the area where you work on. I've always been interested in IT and IP law, and I have to say the Nordic countries in Europe are amongst the front runners in these areas. While I was doing my studies in Edinburgh University, I was working on a master's thesis on open source, and amongst the most prominent scholars I was reading, there were people from Finland, for instance, Mikko Välimäki. I've been interested in Finnish literature for professional purposes since from the beginning. And when I was looking for a PhD position, Finland was one of the countries for me where I wanted to go and study. And the occasion came, and I started to study in a graduate school that was called Innocent Graduate School, which stands from, it's a long term, long kind of name that I don't even recall, but it has to do with innovation, technology, and intellectual property.
Mm-hmm. Was it through IT or so, or where was this interest evoked for you in the back history?
So when I was looking for a specialization, I wanted to do an LLM somewhere outside Italy. I checked different areas, and I've always been interested in technology. Mm-hmm. So I found this field, intellectual property, that I'm speaking like 15 years ago, was not as big as it is nowadays. It was raising and increasingly becoming more and more important. And I said, why not? And I decided to take an LLM in IT and IP law.
So why was, in what way has it grown, would you say?
more, I mean, academically, from the academic point of view, more research interest, more focus on IP and IT type of researches, clearly due to technological advancements. IT is naturally interlinked and connected to technology and technological developments. So I think the digital area has become increasingly important during the next past 15, 20 years, and that has led to a shift in focus and increase in focus of the relevance of IP and IT law.
Where is the connection between IT and IP law and technology and all this?
So when we speak about data, we speak nowadays about the oil of the economy. We speak about the data economy. Clearly, data is about IP, but also it's about IT. It's about privacy and it's about protection. Mm-hmm. So perhaps that's nowadays the most current example. But I mean, if we go back in the years, we start from the printing press. And that's probably the first example of technology that struck some development in the IP field.
Yeah. Tell us short about your research right now, and maybe something big you have done before.
I did my PhD on software protection, so especially focusing on patent protection. How can we use patent law to incentivize developments in the software area in a way that, of course, it provides sufficient protection while at the same time it fosters innovation. So how to strike this balance that we always try to reach in the IP field. Then I worked on a couple of projects more specific in other technological industries. One was on 3D printing, so additive manufacturing technology, and we tackled questions related to different areas of IP in this digital manufacturing context. And then I worked. I'm currently working on a project related to industrial internet. And here is the legal perspective is slightly broader in the sense that we considered issues related to IP, but also data protection and competition law, which in this area obviously very much interlinked one to the other. So it's important to address IP questions, also taking into consideration the reflection on the privacy and on the competition law system and vice versa. And in this context, industrial internet, very relevant. We have been working on this project for a couple of years. It became slowly clearer and clearer that the main topic of importance is AI and the role that artificial intelligence plays here. And that's also touches upon my current research. So nowadays I work very much with AI and IP. Research questions related to, for example, how to incentivize developments in the AI field. Research questions related to data and protection of non-personal data via exclusive rights like IP. Questions related to a different whether we need additional types of protection, sui generis type of protections, in order to incentivize developments on AI or not.
Is this an area that needs regulation and protection, or can it, are there other ways? Because as you say, the balance is of course the ground. So where are you in this? Is there a possibility for more protection or not?
If we look at the bigger picture, we are dealing with an evolution of the interaction between IP, technology and society, with an increased role of society and societal values that needs to be embedded into IP system. So traditionally we used to speak mostly about IP and technology, so IP and innovation. Nowadays we see the intervention more and more of these societal aspects into the IP system. You probably have heard about in the context of the AI, we speak about algorithm fairness, discrimination, and in addition to that, that's part of the societal value, but we also have other societal values that are becoming more and more important in the context of welfare, and by that I refer to the increase possibilities for different users to be part of the innovation process, And I also have, I would like to stress the importance of one specific value from society, which relates to sustainability. So we have nowadays three major pillars, at least in my point of view. We have innovation, we have sustainability, and we have welfare. So how do we incorporate, how do we create a theoretical framework from the IP point of view that embeds these societal values in the IP field, while at the same time maintaining the nature of IP, because ultimately IP is there to provoke further technological innovations. Mm. So how do we make this theoretical framework that at the same time clearly is sustainable from the point of view of economic? So how do we create new business models around that respect these societal values while at the same time being economically sustainable?
So can it be, for example, well, they who construct this puts these values in from the beginning, or can it be things like this? Or?
That's what I'm working right mm. now. So how can we embed these principles really into the IP system? Mm. Right now, for example, principles related to sustainability, they are included in the IP system indirectly. Mm. I'm working on how to bring this principle really inside the IP system, and there are different ways to do that. Mm. For example, if we look at the way from a corporate perspective, how can businesses be, how can we try to divert businesses towards directing R&D in a way that they create innovations that are, for instance, more sustainable, more environmentally friendly, and this includes playing with many, many different aspects of the IP field, as well as corporate field. Like if we speak about corporate social responsibility, right now IP doesn't play a role there. So is there a room for IP to be played, to be included there? In addition, we have rooms to play in the IP strategy context, as well as from a policy perspective, how can the policymakers create policies that push companies towards this type of innovations?
Mm-hmm. Right. So, but do you need to know about the programming part of AI to understand how to regulate it?
I think that's, it leads to another point that I was about to make. These technological developments, AI, but as well 3D printing and several other technological fields, leads us, legal scholar, in a situation where we just cannot work on our own. We need to more increasingly have a dialogue with multidisciplinary areas, including technologies, but also including economics, including social science from the academic perspective. So we need to step out of our box, of small box of lawyers, and start speaking with other disciplines.
And that this might be new for the law area, or...?
Yes, it's relatively new. It's also clearly challenging to combine multidisciplinarity in a way that it creates a result that it's not fragmented, but that is like integrated type of knowledge. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, I think there is an increased need for us as lawyers to communicate and interact with different stakeholders. Mm-hmm. So as academics, speaking with practitioners, industries, as well as policymakers in order to really generate great societal value. So mm-hmm. there is also a need for increased training and skills and lifelong type of learning that is changing. It's changing. So it's not anymore mm-hmm. the same as we are used to. We need to increasingly integrate programs that are more multidisciplinary.
Mm-hmm. Why is this area fun? In what way is it fun for you, this area?
Well, in different ways. As an academic, of course, it's fun to interact with students and the research community. I think that most of the best questions usually come from students, mm-hmm. and that's what make us scholars reflect on what we do. It's clearly fun because we deal with issues that you see on everyday life. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to be a professional to see this, to at least experience these developments in the technology, and intellectually, I think it's really I find it as a very, very interesting topic to how can we shape the law in a way that it provides more societal values for different stakeholders.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Well.